Okay, everybody, good morning. Welcome back to our Shmiras HaLashon class. Learning, we are learning Le'ilui Nishmas Tzvi Gershon Ben Yoel V'chana, Alav Hashem, may his neshama have an aliyah in the merit of our Torah, and also knowing that by the merit that every time someone holds back from saying something as a benefit from this class that they would have otherwise said, which Baruch Hashem, I find myself in such situations, it should really be an aliyah for his neshama as well. I don't know the date, it's the 27th of Omer. Let us begin with the tefillah al hadibur, please. Ribbono shel olam, yihi ratzon lefanecha, rachem v'chanan, shetezakeni hayim v'chol. Amen. So I'll just tell you as a personal example. Last week I was speaking to somebody. Good morning. I was speaking to somebody last week who was in from Eretz Yisrael, and she was telling me about a certain situation in Eretz Yisrael. I don't want to get into details, political situation about what this side thinks, what that side thinks, whatever. One side. So she related a certain thing. She was no gay bedaver, and it's something that 1,000%, 100%. I discussed with my husband because it's like not even a secret. It's, you know, something in the news that this political faction on this side feels about that side. But she was just telling me a little bit more personal vignettes. I did not say anything to him because I thought to myself, wait, we say v'ezar m'ledaber afil al shiachid. So I thought, whatever the machokas is, and whatever the hashkafa is, and I managed to not say anything, because we have to develop a sense, so it's really tchus. It's in your tchus, it's in your father, Allah v'shal v'shal, but we have to develop such a sensitivity. What would be the point of discussing this political situation with my husband? I'm going to be speaking about I'm going to give my opinion about what they think about such and such. Think about how sensitive we have to be. Oh, achilik, ma'am. Do we think of lashon hara like that? So it was a ha'ara. It happened to me last Tuesday, and not 100% I would have discussed it. 1,000%, I would have gone home and told my husband, oh, you know what she said, that these did. So really, I'm not trying to give myself an ayin hara, because as soon as you put something out to the satan, it's like waving the red flag in front of the bull, and then he says, you think you didn't say it, you know what's going to happen. Hashem should help me, I'm saying the to'alas, I'm giving an example of a specific Indian where sometimes we wouldn't even consider that to be. Sure, it's in the news, everybody knows how this side feels, what I've discussed with my husband from this woman's personal video. So we are going into the Sefer. I just want to relate one thing from last week's parasha, which was Parashas Kedoshim Tihiyu, you shall be holy, and I want to just point out with the Ramban, very, very famous piece of the Ramban, what the Ramban says. The mitzvah is kedoshim to you, ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem, you shall be holy, because I, Hashem, God, am holy. So, of course, it's open to a lot of interpretation. What kind of command is to be holy? You know, Parshas Achrei Mos Yom Kippur. So, I know how to keep Yom Kippur because Chazal tell me what to do. I know how to keep Matzah Leil Seder and how to blow shofar. I know how to be Mafresh Chala. But what is kedoshim? It's such an intangible mitzvah. What does it mean? So, Rashi says you should stay far away from Arayas, which is sexual immorality. Chazal say kedoshis atzmecha b'mutar lach, make yourself of holy with what is permitted. But the Ramban has a very, very famous piece, and the Ramban uses the term, I'm just trying to find it, you shouldn't be a novel b'shus HaTorah. By involving yourself too much in certain matters, even though they're permitted, you could be disgusting or gluttonous within what is allowed in the Torah. He says, those who guzzle wine and gorges of meat. So of course, meat is allowed and wine is allowed. How much meat, how much wine? At a certain point, a person will become a nava, which means disgusting, if you will, or boorish, within the confines of what is allowed. Now, he also talks about being too intimate. Talmud Chacham, how much is he intimate with his wife? So there is certain parameters that even though something is a permissible and allowed, you have to consider, does it make me kadosh to become so involved in it? However, the reason I'm bringing this up in our class, it's relevant for always in life, v'chein yishmer piv ulishano. And so he should guard his mouth and his tongue. He should guard his mouth and his tongue from becoming polluted, so to speak, with excess eating. And he also should guard his mouth that it shouldn't become polluted with disgusting, or it's also translated as unseemly, Watch how you talk. That's what the Rambam is saying. That's part of Kedoshim to you. Now, Lo Teilech Rachil Ba'amecha, 1916, is also in this week's parasha. But Rambam is giving you general examples of where a person can become a novel B'shus Hatar. So you're allowed to drink meat, drink wine. How much wine do you drink? You're allowed to eat meat. How much wine do you eat? You're allowed to be with your wife. How much are you with your wife? You're allowed to talk. But you could still become a novel B'shus Hatar. Yishmer piv u'lishono mi'isgal biribui ha'achila, not from consuming too much, hagasa umin hadibur hanimas. Then he says, v'kadish atzma b'zeh, and you should sanctify, kadesh, make yourself holy with this, ad she'egi lefrishus, until he comes to the level of abstinence. Well, I don't have to tell my husband what this woman, she lives in it, so she has a certain family situation that's no gay, but I don't have to tell my husband. I'm telling myself, what's the point? There's no point, it's just to talk about other Jews. Rav Salvechik says, you want to know what Lashon Hara is? Anything you enjoy speaking about somebody else. Please use your seichel. We've quoted this. It doesn't mean a mother talking to her daughter about grandchildren. Okay, whether it's something that she needs advice to tell Alice, it could be negative if we discuss it with somebody else, or rather positive nachas. That's not what we're talking about. Yekadish atzma b'zeh ad she'egi lefrishus, until you really make yourself holy. He's talking about specifically speech, until you reach the level of abstinence. Masha amru Rabbi Chia, but they said about Rabbi Chia, shelo sach sicha betela miyamav. He never, sicha is conversation. He never uttered a word of betela, pointless, idle chatter in his entire life. So we have to reach a certain level to understand that even with speech, we can become a novel b'shus Hatar. You know, it's not only immersing ourselves in the physicality of this world. Yeah, you think me, wine, sexual. So I understand that a person could be never b'shus Hatar, but the Rambam is telling you it also applies to Kol Chadibur as well. So it's extremely powerful and it's something very important that, again, as I said, even when we're not sitting here these 45 minutes learning, it really, 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 really needs to carry over. Are we going to be perfect? Every time I'm going to refrain from telling my husband what I want to say? Lamaisa? Sadly, probably not. But does it mean, the Chavetz Chaim says, just because a man cannot be perfect does not free himself of his obligation to strive to be good. Okay, so let's open up the Sefer, please. Last time we did not do the Sefer at all. And I said that this time we are going back to the Sefer. Okay, so we are on page 52. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. Is that what you have? Yeah, okay. We're on page 52 for your reference. We'll start from Od Sari. We will, but as Rosh Hashanah believe later. Please, Akash Baruch, I'm planning to go into Perek Yemot today. Od Sari, Ish Navon Hisponin, a discerning man must pay attention. We're just going to start from the top of the page. Sheyesh Kama Halachos Chamurs V'Torah. There are a number of strict Chamur Halachos in the Torah, Sherimuzos Beza Pasuk or Beza Teva, that are alluded to, whether it's in a Pasuk or a letter. Ve'ilu B'inyan Koacha Dibra Shel Yekalka Adam Lashono Beza Dibra. So the man says, it's alluded to in the Torah. That's interesting. It doesn't mean it's said straight out. The Rambam says it's a remez. So we just saw a remez in the Torah. What's the example we brought? Kedoshim tiyu ki kadoshani. You wouldn't open up that pasuk, perik yates and pasuk beis, and say, oh, the Torah is telling me about shmir salasha. Would anybody here on the level of pshat open up kedoshim tiyu and say, oh, level of pshat, the Torah is telling me to wash my words? No, it's remuzo space of pasuk. That's exactly what the Chavetz Chaim is saying. It's alluded to in the pasuk or even in a letter regarding kol chadibur. Man should not be makalkal. He should not curse or make degenerate or disgusting his mouth with regarding forbidden matters of speech. Shana hakasu v'shilesh kama parshas v'zeh. So the Torah went out of its way to assign certain parshas, certain chapters of Torah to teach us about this. Mizan yochin lisponin gado chiyuv hashmir. From this we can understand, we can be discerning to the greatness of the chiyuv hashmir sheyesh aleinu b'zeh, that we are required to do regarding this matter. I want to quote from Rav Elimelech Biderman. This was from his opening, one and a half pages from Rav Elimelech Biderman. This was his mashpia in Eretz Yisrael. It's becoming more and more well known amongst the Hamonim. Tremendous mashpia. This is his opening parashas to Zvi Metzora. What happened? Right. The Gemara teaches, ready? Listen to this. Leis da anya mikalba. Leis de anya mikalba. There's nothing poorer than a dog. Ani kalev. Leis de anya Mikava, there's nothing poorer than a dog. Veleis da asir mechazira, there's nothing richer than a pig. It's from Masechta Shabbos. Rashi explains on the Gemara, nothing is wealthier than a pig. It eats all types of food. It finds food on its own and people feed it. A dog is poor. No one has compassion on a dog to give it food. Okay, so what are we talking about here? This needs clarification, says Rav Biederman. Why is it even written in the Gemara? Why is the Gemara telling us about a pig is rich and a dog is poor? The Vilna Gaon, Zechus HaYagen Aleinu, explains the wealthy pig represents a prohibition of eating chazir. It's not a wealthy pig, meaning the pig is rich. The pig is rich, it's a prohibition of eating pig. The poor dog represents a prohibition of speaking Lashon Hara. The Gemara says, whoever speaks Lashon Hara, it would be proper to throw him to the dog. So now he's going to explain it more. When the Gemara says, there's nothing poorer than a dog and nothing richer than a pig, we're talking about two different mitzvos. The mitzvah of not eating pig, we call something chazer treif. Why do you call it kelev treif? Think about it. When we chazer treif, what are we really saying? It's as treif as a pig. The pig is the most treif animal, even though it's not really more treif than, I don't know, the arneves. What did you say?
Shellfish.
Okay, shellfish, our nevis, the hair. I don't know. They're also treif. So why is chazer treif? Because the Gemara, maybe it comes from here. It's fascinating. The Gemara says the pig is the wealthiest, meaning in terms of the mitzvah. Rabbi Biederman's going to explain. Okay. The pig is considered wealthy. Why? Because the mitzvah of not eating pig is well kept. There isn't any other sin in the Torah that is upheld so scrupulously as this one. Even non-religious Yidden refrain from eating pork, which is true. Sometimes you could have a Jew who's totally non-affiliated. There's a line they won't cross. They'll eat out in the treif restaurant. They won't order the bacon. Why? Because it's chazer treif. So the pig is wealthy. Rabbi Biederman's explaining this Gemara now because the pig is a rich animal. Because people hold the mitzvah in very high regard. Every mitzvah has a mazel. The Gemara tells us even a Sefer Torah has a mazel. The prohibition of eating pork has very good mazel. People are cautious. It's considered the wealthiest law of Torah. So now do we understand why the Gemara says, Leis the Anya Mikava, there's nothing, no. Leis the Asir Mechazira, there's nothing wealthier than a pig, meaning it's a rich pig. What does that mean? It's a rich mitzvah. It's a wealthy mitzvah. People are very careful. It's like, you know, if you have a precious gem, it's a good mashal. So you have a precious gem. You're going to be very careful. Then you have a synthetic stone. One has a ring with a synthetic stone, a fake stone, a copy, a knockoff, it costs you $25. And the other one, the ring costs $15,000. So if you lose the $25 one, okay, so you'll put another $25. I'm not minimizing $25, but please. But if you lose the $15,000, it hurts. So the chazir is that rich gem that everybody guards. In other words, I guard the mitzvah. In contrast, people aren't very careful with Lashon Hara. I'm quoting. It, in fact, says Rabbi Biederman, quote, it's the poorest sin because it's so neglected. And that's the dog. Now we understand why the Gemara says there's nothing poorer than a dog. The dog, says the Vilna Gaon, represents Lashon Hara, while the Vilna Gaon says the pig represents the Ashiras. We don't eat pig. Everyone's very makbir. However, when it comes to Lashon Hara, it's like the poor dog. Why? Because how careful are people when God's Lashon Hara? It's so neglected. The Gemara compares Lashon Hara to the three cardinal sins. We know the three cardinal sins of Avodah Zarah, Ra'ah, Shfichas Damim, adultery, and murder. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh writes, nothing distances a person from his creator like Lashon Hara. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, nothing distances a person like Lashon Hara. It isn't neglected because it isn't severe. The prohibition is very grave, more than eating chazer, yet it is the poorest because few people keep it. So it's not that the Torah minces words, which is what we just saw in the Chavetz Chaim. The Torah tells us repeatedly. It even alludes to in Kedoshim to you. That's what the Chavetz Chaim just says. There's allusion. So we just saw an allusion. So it's there, it's pashut, it's there. It's fascinating when you think about it. I just thought of something, even didn't think of it as print. How many times are we prohibited against eating chazir? Parsha Shmini tells us laws of kosher and unkosher animals, and you can't eat a chazir. It sticks out its thing. It looks like it has split hooves. Not it looks like. It does have split hooves. It doesn't chew its gut. How many times are we told about forbidden speech? The Meraglim is a story of forbidden speech. Miriam's Lashon Hara Tzaras is a forbidden speech. The Nachash is a story of forbidden speech. Moshe getting Tzaras at the Snez is a story of forbidden speech. He got Tzaras because he spoke Lashon Hara about Knesset Yisrael. Oseich Rechil Bamecha is Pashut, the Torah tells you. Arur Maka Re'ehu Besaser, when Moshe gives the claws and brachas and Tavarim, Rashi says this is the first time who's speaking Lashon Hara. What should we say? When we stand for the Baruch Sha'am and the Amirah, what should we say? How many times are we told about Nani Chazir? The consequence of Lashon Hara is Tzara'as, continues Rav Biederman. Oh, this is very important. Tzara'as, he says. Now, the way I define Tzara'as, and we may have said it last time when we met, is Tzara'as is a spiritual illness with physical manifestation. That's how I always translate Tzara'as. So I was very happy, thank you Hashem, to read this in Rav Biederman. Tzara'as is a spiritual leprosy, which we know. It's not really leprosy. Keep that in mind. I'm not going to use the word leprosy. I'm going to use the word tzara'as because it's not correct that it's leprosy. It can appear in a person's skin, clothing, or walls of the home. But that's not the primary tzara'as. Primary tzara'as, he writes, is on a person's soul. That's tzara'as. Tzara'as doesn't exist today, but he says it doesn't exist today, but it still exists on the neshama. The neshama becomes contaminated by the grave sin of Lashon Hara. And he says, this is interesting, the Chavetz Chaim tells us in our times, tzara'as affects us and emerges in the form of poverty. There is the realm of the neshama that is still affected by tzara'as. And this is beautiful. One more thought, and then we're going to go back to the Sefer. If someone sees tzara'as on the walls of his home, so he has to go to the kohen, and he has to say, does anyone know what he says? Kinega, nira li babayis. What do you mean? Like an affliction appeared on my home. Why does he say like an affliction appeared on my home? So Rashi says there that he has to, it's only by the word of the kohen. He could be the biggest Talmid Chacham, he could be Baki and Kol HaTorah Kula, but if he's not a Kohen, he can't say it's Tzara'as. Kinegali. So the first lesson, the classic lesson given on this Kinegali, is a lesson in humility. No matter who you think you are, the God of Hadar, the spiritual leader, he has to decide. You can't go and say, I know what it is, you're not giving the Psak. You wait for the Gadol, the Kohen Gadol, give the Psak. Rabbi Biederman brings down a different reason, which I never read, and it's beautiful. Why can't we say with certainty it's tzara'as? Why can't you go to the Kohen Gadol? I have tzara'as on my house. I think it looks like tzara'as. That's what you have to say. Why? Rav Chaim Vital answers, it indicates that tzara'as might be seen on the walls, or the home, or the body, but that's not primary tzara'as. The primary plague is what's not seen on the neshama. The tzara'as seen is only a reflection. Therefore, he says, a reflection of what? His neshama. Kinega nira li babayis means it looks like it's a mirror, it's a reflection of the true tzara'as. You can't say nega nirali because that's not the real tzara'as. Am I explaining okay? The real tzara'as is where? Internal. And you can't see it internal. So when it says kinega nirali, like an affliction, meaning it's the reflect. Like if you saw somebody in a mirror, if you just look in the mirror, you wouldn't say that's that person. It's an image, it's a reflection of that. It's not that person, it's a reflection. It looks like the person, it's a reflection like the person, but it's not the person. Kinega literally, this is a reflection of tzara'as. Where's the real tzara'as? On my soul. So Biederman says, quote to Chavetz Chaim, it's true, Chavetz Chaim, that we don't have tzara'as today, but we do have tzara'as today. We have that spiritual malady which is on the soul. The only part of tzara'as we don't have is the physical manifestation. Therefore, mizo anu yochim lihisponim, from this we can pay attention. I'm finishing the second paragraph on page 52. Gado chiyuv hashmira shiyesh aleinu bazeh, the greatness of the obligation to guard our mouths that we have. V'hine amu chazal, and behold, the sages have said, yafa sichasen shal avdei avos mitarasen shal baram. This is a famous ma'amar chazal. The speech of the servants of the forefathers is more dear than the Torah of the sons. Does anyone know why? What this is referring to when Chazal say this? Very nice. Say louder. So go ahead. Say louder.
Story again. We heard the whole story. How Eliezer came to get Rivka and then repeated the whole story when he told.
So if you look in Parashas Chayisar and Perachav Dalet, the story of Eliezer, that he, the whole story of the Shidduch, takes a very long time. He goes to find Rivka, he meets her at the well, but then when he goes back to the house and he brings bread with her family and Besua, they have a meal, the Torah could have just told us, he goes home, he asks permission, he takes the kala back, it goes into the whole story. Eliezer tells the whole story to the family, and the Torah repeats the whole story. So Chazal say, Yafes sichason shal avdei avos, pleasant is the speech of the servants of the forefathers, meaning Eliezer is a servant of Avraham Avinu, mitorason shal badim, from the Torah of their sons. You know, when it comes to Yaakov's Torah, how much do we know? Yaakov, Yishtam Yoshev Ohalim, the beginning of Parshat Todos. Yaakov's a simple man, he dwells in tents, Rosh says the tents of Shem Weaver. When it comes to Eliezer, I have a whole dissertation and a repeat of the story. So I saw a very interesting pshat into this actually by Rav Moshe Tursky, Hashem Yikom Dama. Okay, so I'm just going to open up page 210, 1 second, ladies. So Rav Moshe Tursky says something very interesting, and it relates exactly to our learning. Okay. I called Rebbe, a certain Talmud relates. He once called Rav Moshe Tursky, Hashem Yikom Dama. I asked him why the Torah spent so much time in the story of Eliezer's lengthy conversation with Chayisar. Chayisar, Perachav Dalad, the Shirach is 67, Psukim Mang, Samich Zaynin, in a Torah that does not waste words. And the Torah tells it, count every word. That's a very long story. It did not have to be, and I'm putting that in quotes, because obviously it had to be, because that's your Bosha. Oh man, it's a Hijra. Did have to be so long. I actually saw yesterday, I haven't seen it for a long time since I brought it up. My friend Natara Habib shared a beautiful insight in Parshkas a few years ago, which stuck with me. And she says, why is the story so long? It's like one of the longest parshas in the Torah. And it's really just a story. It could have been happened much faster. It's funny, I saw it yesterday, I haven't seen it for a long time. I said, I still remember the insight you told me. I didn't know I was going to be discussing it today yet. So Tara said, because she herself got married a little bit later, and I know she has a beautiful family, inshallah nacha. So she says, it's the Torah's teaching that sometimes the shirach takes a long time. That's a long time. And I could have been a fraction, I need to know every detail, and then you need to repeat the whole story. When you go back to the soul, just take the girl, you make the shirach, get married. So she said, to teach you, the Torah wants to tell you that sometimes it's going to take a long time, it's going to be hard on the way, you're going to have to go through a lot of steps and hurdles, but at the end you're going to get there. And at the end it says that Yitzchak loved Rivka, he brought her the tenth of his mother, not in that order. It says he brought a tenth of his mother, he loved her, and she was to him a wife, and he was comforted after his mother. So in the end she said, you're going to get there. So it's beautiful chizuk just in terms of the Shirach Parsha. But going back to Yafes Sichason Shal Ovde Avos, Mitorason Shal Banim, so this Talmud says, I once called Rebbe, why does the Torah spend so much time in the story of Eliezer's lengthy conversation with Chayisar? Shouldn't we have seen a higher level of moral instruction from the conversation of the Avos themselves? So you understand? So we're asking a question on this Ma'amar Chazal. Why? Mitoras and Shabbanim. Wouldn't it have been better for me to learn? What did Yaakov Avinu do for 14 years in Sheveva? Tell me what sugyos they were studying. Tell me how he elevated himself. Tell me how he conquered in his notice. Tell me how he went up on the rung of Sfirsa Omer. Tell me. All you tell me is he was Ish Tam Yosheva Halim. And Eliezer is talking and talking and talking. First he talks, he has a whole monologue when he meets her, then he has a whole monologue when he goes to the family. So Rav Tursky answered with Pasha one sentence, quote, the Avos kept quiet. They didn't have mundane conversations. In other words, if there was nothing to say, the Avos didn't say it. You don't need to know about Yaakov's, what sugi he was learning with his rabbi. It's his personal avodas Hashem. It's so powerful. The Avos kept quiet. We just saw the Ramban says, Rabbi Chiya never spoke sicha betela in his life. They didn't have any, mundane conversations. So I thought it was tremendous when I read it. Obviously very, very relevant. Okay. Mimasha kafal hakasuv l'saper kol hadiburim shadibir Eliezer. So the Chavetz Chaim is, ladies, I'm on page 52, second paragraph, third line down. Okay. So this is, now the Chavetz Chaim is talking about the same Indian we just spoke about. Mimasha kafal hakasuv l'saper kol hadiburim shadibir Eliezer. The Torah went out its way to double the whole story of Eliezer. V'yidu b'turas and shabanim derech ha-Torah l'katzer. By the way of the Torah of the sons, we're using Yaakov Avinu's example. Yitzchak, by the way, it's like this mysterious personality. We know very, very little about Yitzchak. It's fascinating. He gets married. He's davening in the field. He's davening when they need to have children. He blesses his sons, and that's pretty much it. We know very little about Yitzchak. And yet he was Gevura, and he's the Avod, and he's the Keda. V'af anu nomer ben yanenu imasha riba kasuv parshas al inyan chelek adibra. And we could say regarding our matter, that the Torah went out of its way, kama parshas, a number of chapters regarding Dibor, speech. The Torah warns us about Lashon Hara. The Torah warns us about Rechilas. Hotzah Shema, giving others a bad name. Onas Devarim, oppression, verbal oppression. Al-Habanas Panim, on embarrassing somebody. I think that, I don't recall if I said the story here, but it's worth telling it over again. Very short vignette, also related to Moshe Tursky, Hashem Yikom Dama, who counted every word. My brother's rabbi in YU, it was Rav Meir Tursky. Shlita, Rav Moshe's brother. And he told me, this is years ago, that he said that his Rebbe, Rav Meir, He's always quiet. If you ask him a question first, there's a silence. He's contemplating what to say, always thinking before he speaks. Imagine if we had the wherewithal, the koach, the gvura, the seichel, the bina, the Chafetz Chaim says, the hisponim. To mamish think, every time before I open my mouth, it's a scary thing. So Talmud says, I may have said this, I don't remember. I once came to Rabbi's Purim Suda dressed in a costume that was, shall we say, quite off the beaten path. Did I relate it? When I entered the room, I was met by a number of disapproving looks. It was Purim. Among the festive singing and dancing, I noticed that Rabbi asked someone to get me a shirt that I could change into. I'm relating this, ladies, to Habanas Panim, and Late Sonus is coming up, because we've reiterated so many times in this class, and I think it's very important to point out that Dibur Asur relates not only to what we typically think of as Lashon Hara. Al chelik mehem, we're adding a new ha'ara. I don't want to talk about a faction of Kaiser. It's not going to help me talk about the political situation there. Sorry, I'm going to end up talking badly about a certain group. Habanas Panim, Late Sonus. I'll tell you, someone just embarrassed me recently. It was a small group, but whatever, without going into ideas, I mama started crying. So why is Hashem want me to hear this? Fine, that's not the point. What comes out of our mouth, Rav Meir Tursky, and certainly his brother Rav Moshe, Hashem Yikom Damo, Shlita, switch the order around. I have to think before I speak. That's what the Chafetz Chaim is trying to reiterate. You can become holy, you must become holy through your dibur, through your sicha. Dvarim Batalim versus Dvarim Shebekdusha. Why did Eliezer have such a long conversation with Yitzchak? We know very little. He appears in two parashios. We know so little about Yitzchak. Because Avos were quiet. If they don't have something to say, they didn't say it. It's very powerful. Okay, I noticed Rabbi asked me, someone should get me a shirt that I should change into. I decided to leave. The boy is embarrassed. He wasn't dressed appropriately, but he decided to leave. The next day before Mincha, Rabbi Rav Moshe Tversky walked into the Beis Medrash. He quickly made his way over to me when he saw me. He began to apologize profusely, saying how sorry he was. I might have felt hurt. This is part of Dibur Asur. Do you understand? It's not just the Rechilis and the Lashon Hara and the Ka'as. And the Chafetz Chaim reiterates that many times. He might have felt hurt. Late Sanus, Habanas Panim, Holelus, his mockery, from what happened the day before. He asked me to forgive him. I was at loss for words. Who was I that Rabbi needed to ask me for forgiveness? Exclamation mark, question mark. But he stood his ground and he waited for my affirmative response. When I finally got it out, all I could say was a meek yes. His face broke out in a broad smile. He told me if ever needed anything, could he ever be of assistance, I shouldn't hesitate to approach him and to ask. Very, very powerful. So we're talking about Mamash, a Gaon in Torah, and Pashtos, and Midos Tovas, and Yerushalayim, a Gaon Olam. We have to learn from these things. Very powerful. Say something? No. Okay. Habaris Panim, Al Dibur Shaker, lies. Last week's parasha, the Torah warns us in Parashas Kedoshim not to deny, not to lie. The pasuk says, actually, lo signovu, don't steal. Lo tishakru ishba mito, don't lie. And then don't deny. Lo tichachashu. The Rashi says there, Rashi doesn't use the term of Chazal, but what Rashi is really saying is that mitzvah goreres mitzvah. And avera goreres avera. Rashi says, why the sequence? Don't steal, lo signovu. Rashi says, knevis maman. Then the pasuk says, lo techachashu, don't deny, lo techaku, don't lie. So Rashi says, if you steal, you're going to come to lie and deny. And if you deny, you're going to come to lie. There is a pattern of averus here. So sheker, divrei gaiva, Rav Nesson Svifinka, another go'on olam, he said that he was at the first meeting of Moetzes Gedolei Torah in his capacity of Rosh Hashiva, talking about Divrei Gaiva, and when he heard them stop the meeting and they said, what does the mere Rosh Hashiva have to say? He says he almost fainted. To hear himself referred to as the mere Rosh Hashiva, he almost fainted. So Divrei Gaiva, Divrei Chanufa, improper flattery. I still remember that Sarah Malka Krasner asked about that, like in the second class. What is Chanifa? It is Lo Tachnifa, so arts. It's improper flattery to get what you want of a person you should not be flattering just for ulterior motives. Val Divrei Machlokas, and regarding Divrei Machlokas, which leads to Galus, of course. Galus Mitzrayim began because Lo Yachud Abul Shalom, there was tremendous machokas between Yosef and the brothers. V'chein inyan holelus, mockery, we just gave some examples, v'leitzanus, and mockery or making fun of somebody. You know, a joke is only funny at the person who's talking's expense. It's not funny at the person that you're making fun of expense. Very often the person on the receiving end does not find the joke amusing. They might laugh because it's a defense mechanism, or they might end up burst out crying. You're never sure how it's going to go. But even the laughter, they're not really laughing. Even if they shrug it off and it's fine, it's okay. You have to be very aware. Shazab v'day nika b'mash amar akasu v'dibarta. Bam, we say this every day in Shema. That's from Kriya Shema. Devarim perek vav v'shema v'dibarta. Bam, v'shivtecha b'veisach v'lachcha v'derech. You know, I see that I started to think that when we say Shema, right? V'dibarta, bam, you should speak about the mitzvahs. B'shivtecha b'veisach v'lachcha v'derech. What comes first? B'shivtecha b'veisach, when you dwell, when you sit in your home. V'lachcha v'derech, when you go on your way. Why? Because very often what happens is a person has a certain speech pattern outside of the house. Because they want to give a good opinion of themselves. That people should have a nice thought of them. What's exactly what I'm looking
impression.
For? Portrayal, what?
Impression.
Impression, thank you. They want to portray themselves as straight, they speak nicely. Some people don't care lamaisa at all. Okay, there are such. I mean, the ultimate extreme of that is what goes on in the news, politicians. There are people who mamish don't care at all. But then there are people who aren't. There should be a good impression of themselves on the outside. People should have a positive thought process of them, attitude. They're so upstanding, they're wonderful. I need a tissue. Random, thank you very much. But then inside the home, they're different. I once read many years ago, Musar, you should behave with the family, with your family, the way you behave with people in the street. So, you know, of course it's not always possible. It should not be then taken literally. The people in the street say, hello, how are you? And you're pretty much past them, maybe, but let's use our seicha. However, it's interesting in Shema, we say, v'dibarta bam, I should speak about Torah mitzvahs, v'avta Hashem l'kech, I should love Hashem v'gav v'chol v'avcha, without my heart, says Rashi, with your two yetzes, v'chol nafshecha, even if he takes your life, chalila v'chasper of salvation, explains this also means a knife, kadoshim to you, give him your nefesh by making yourself holy, v'chol me'odecha, with each and every measure that he measures out to you. However, when I love God and I serve him through these modes, not enough v'lachlecha v'derech. What does the Torah place first? B'shivtecha b'veisecha. First, when you dwell in your home, when you sit in your house, when you interact with people around you, and also when you go out on your way. So all these things that we're speaking about, ladies, whether the Chavetz Chaim is thinking about lashon hara v'chila, so tzah shema onas tvarim habanas panim divrei sheker. Okay, these mean lashon hara v'chila, telling you what she said, giving a bad name, verbal abuse, embarrassment, lies, gaiva, haughtiness. We have to keep in mind that it also applies when we're in our own home. V'dibarta bab, Rami Chazal v'lo b'diburim b'telim. You should speak dafka about Torah, midos, chesed, not just bata, like not just, how's it translated? Not words that are nonsense. It doesn't really mean that. It means pointless words. Don't just speak pointless words. Mashalom matzinu kein b'sharin yanim. We've not found this in regard to any other subject matter. Again, let's go back to the Chazir. The Torah does not tell us over and over not to eat pig. The Torah doesn't need to tell you over and over. If it tells you one time, it's enough. You should know. I was told not to eat pig, so don't eat pig. I don't need to be told 20 times. But the Gartel Shinar, look how weak we are. It's so poor like a dog. Look how weak we are. That the Torah knows and needs to tell us over and over. We can understand from this the greatness of the power of speech. The Ashrei Chalko, fortunate is the portion, Misha Nizharbam, one who is on guard in regard to this matter. Okay, we have to finish. We have to go, let's just do the top, because I said we're getting to Perek Yemot. But I didn't say B'li Neder, but let's just get into Perek Yemot. But wait, we got a lot of material covered. The whole page is pretty good for us. Bo Yevo Ar, in this chapter, we will clarify, page 54, ladies, Sheyihelo Eis Kavua, there should be a set time, Lilmod Halachos, you should learn the Halachos, V'hamusarim, and the Musar, the Hashkafa, the chastisement, the tochacha hashayachim lezeh that are relevant to koach hadibur sheyitosfu lo al yedeze kama alfei melitzi yosha avura. Look at this. You will accumulate thousands of melitzi yosha, advocates for good on your behalf, if you spend a certain amount of time learning these inyanim. Okay? So, I'm not going to quote from what I wanted to quote something from of Daniel Feldman. Should we do of Daniel Feldman instead, because he's also halacha meister, or would you rather me do from here? What are you on?
We'll do Rabbi Feldman.
Are you sure? Okay, he's one of the Yeshivas Yeshivas, Rabbi Feldman, and I've quoted from this before, false facts and true rumors. Okay. What he talks about next is very important, and talking about halacha l'maisa, this is very practical. Okay. First of all, he speaks about a negative attitude, and a negative attitude feeds upon itself and ultimately affects everyone around them. So lashon hara stems from that tsaras ayin, that garva, which is a negative attitude. We've quoted this pasuk many times. Mi asher chavetz chaim ohev yamim le'ostov, who is the man who loves life? Chavetz chaim ohev yamim loves days. Liros Tov period. The first step in Avodas Hashem in regard to Kol Chadibur is to see God. You see God, you speak God. Rambam writes, there is a direct path from hearsay to heresy. Hearsay, what you heard other people say in the street, to heresy. What's heresy? Kofos, denying God, so to speak. Noting that those who at first are merely cynical in their orientation, someone who is negative, will eventually come to disparage and deny God himself. That's exactly what happened to the Meraglim, by the way. They were cynical in their orientation. They saw negative in the land. Therefore, they, in a sense, deny God. God hates us. He doesn't want, God hates you. He did all these things for you. Now you're talking lashon hara about God. He hates you. This aspect must not be understated. The tendency toward a negative assessment when circumstances allow for other perspectives. So if you can find one positive nakuda and you chose to focus on the negative, is profoundly corrosive. And when left unchecked, can undermine the possibility of fair treatment and appreciation for value of life. However, the point that I want to focus on now is on his next heading, subheading in the chapter, is called Damage to Society. This negativity is emblematic of a harm that Lashon Hara afflicts and goes beyond the speaker and subject. So often, but I hope for our learning we've come to as it goes beyond this, but we think of Lashon Hara as affecting the speaker and the listener and the subject. Right. More broadly, must be noted, society as a whole is hurt by the spread of gossip. So now he's talking about societal ramifications in many ways, including the seepage of negative bias into the communal attitude. Society becomes damaged from this negative attitude. The seepage sounds like, reminds me of sewage, which it's true, by the way. Okay, that's what happens with a negative attitude when it seeps like sewage through society. And there's a negative bias in the communal attitude. So I'm going to say something interesting that somebody mentioned to me on Shabbos. She is Nogay Bedavar. She spoke with the Menahel himself, which is a child in this yeshiva. And I'm giving an example of something that's so dangerous. There's a certain school. There are actually many of them, so that's good because it's not identifiable in the community. That's centrally located. And apparently, people are talking about the Talmidim from this school. That they see them walking around, they see them going out for pizza, they see them going to the store. Like, they're talking about negatively. So they went to the store. She called the Menahel. Menahel said, I don't know, he said, are my Talmidim naked in the store? No, he really said that. He said, what's the problem here? Someone even said it to her. I see those boys. So she says, you know, my son's in that school. There's a person who's not afraid to speak up for herself. So the woman said, I never saw him. I wasn't talking about your son. What kind of negativity is permeating? So I was like completely stunned. She said to me, you have no idea. I said, you're right, I have no idea. What's the problem? What's the problem? That's what the Menahel said to her. Are my boys naked in the store? They went to get lunch. What are we talking about? Are they robbing the store? What's the problem? They're walking in the street. We have nothing better to do as a community? And then see something with such tsarus ayin? Halacha l'maisa, how do I view the world, people, children, yiddish neshamos? Maybe they're not my shkafa, that's not a problem. You don't have to be in exactly my shkafa. What are you doing? The major identified harm that is imposed upon society is the divisiveness that is provoked by malicious gossip. Divide. There's a divide in society because of malicious gossip. There becomes communal division. Members of society are alienated from one another, whether because of unwarranted distrust, or antipathy towards the subject of gossip, or offense to themselves, as well as subsequent retaliations. Then he talks about the Metzora who sent out of all three camps. We know that he caused a divide between people. He's divided from. We spoke about this. Conversely, one more short paragraph, engaging in harsh judgment of others creates a quick path to communal discord and then to outright hatred. And it's true because, unfortunately, Chaman al-Latsam, there are factions, there are communities, there are instances when it goes beyond not agreeing to actual hatred. This animosity is fueled by a vicious cycle. Okay. So I thought it was very important to point out with that. Any questions or comments on that? Let's do two quick ones from here. Right, we're okay.
Is there a time when you can't, like let's say there's a group that's doing something against halacha. Can you talk about that?
What we've learned is it has to be the Toalos.
Right, so
if you're going to accomplish something. Like if somebody wants to call the Menahal and say, I saw a certain group from the yeshiva doing X, Y, and Z, and that's clearly what they're doing. X, Y, and Z is a problem of halacha. First of all, you're calling the Menahal. Hopefully it's for Toalos. Hopefully they'll be able to change something. But what we've learned, what we've been learning in here is that it has to be the Toalos, and not even the Toalos, where it takes a step further. Toalos means for constructive purpose, but not even that. Only if there's reasonable degree of assumption that you will be able to affect change. And if you can affect change, so Tristan just talk about it. I mean, I'm not opposed, obviously, but it seems to me that that would be a problem. Okay, we did this one last time. Okay, while derogatory information you want to hear what's so funny what I'm about to read? Mm-hmm. Talk about Hashkacha Pratis. While derogatory information may be related for a constructive purpose, slander cannot be justified. Mm-hmm. So there was no reason for me to go home and tell my husband, well, this woman, she's from Israel, okay, but Deborah, she was telling me about her family members, and I didn't have to repeat it. And why are people talking about those words? Unless they're really doing something wrong. Which, from what they're saying, I don't want to even go to too many details, besides from the story, other things, they're really not doing anything wrong. And if they are doing something, so you have to call the principal, you have to talk to the principal. And if they're just, I'm not your hashkava, that's fine. So, derogatory information may be related for constructive purpose, but slander cannot be justified. One does not have the right to exaggerate or alter facts for a constructive purpose. So even for a constructive purpose, that's what Rav White's testament I've quoted from so many times. I've quoted him so many times. Even for a constructive purpose, you cannot exaggerate or alter the facts. It has to be, he said. He used the word hearsay, by the way, which is funny because Rambam says hearsay leads to heresy. Right? Not hearsay. Nor may one omit details that minimize the severity of the person's action. So in other words, you shouldn't try and build it up to make it worse than it really is. Just if it's litoalis, for a totally constructive purpose, and there's a reasonable assumption that something will be changed from this, in that case, you have to stick to the facts. Okay. Conversely, one must omit authentic details that make the story sound even worse, if you can attain the same results without those being mentioned. So if you could attain certain results without giving all the details, because all of the details make the person look even worse, so you have to omit very negative facts if you can stick to less details and accomplish the task. You cannot exaggerate the story. It has to be absolutely the to'alas, and there has to be reasonable chance that the situation will be resolved. So look at the conditions. So if somebody's violating halacha, if there's a group of boys who are mamash violating halacha, could I sit down and discuss it with my friends? Oh, you want to go to the mother of one of the children you saw privately? I'm not talking about that, but it's time to. But this is going on in the community. I was shocked. I was truly shocked. And she actually called him an alcohol kabbalah, and he called her back, and she spoke to him. But what are we doing as a community? How negatively do we perceive other people? children. Unbelievable. Having ascertained that the negative information is accurate, that the perpetrator was not justified. So is it accurate information? Was the perpetrator justified? And the reproof has proven unsuccessful. One final condition must be met before you could relate to Lashon Hara. And what is that? You have to be certain that the sole intent is Lato Elas, for a constructive purpose. And if you recall, Rabbi White said this is very hard. Because very often we're no gay bedavra, and it's truly very difficult to relate absolutely something Lato Elas. However, if he knows in his heart, he is pleased to cast the perpetrator in a bad light. Gives you a teeny bit of a high. It's the toalas, you justified yourself, but somewhere inside you, you're happy about this. He's not permitted to speak. It is lowly to enjoy speaking negatively, even for a constructive purpose. So it goes back to being a liros tov. Speaking negatively is lowly. This is especially challenging when one is required to speak about a person with whom he does not get along. It's necessary to eradicate negative feelings towards that person than to convey the negative information. So I just want to comment on this and we're going to end with this. It is necessary to first eradicate negativity, then you can speak the negative information. So first get rid of the negative feelings in your heart, then you can... I was having a WhatsApp conversation with somebody before Shabbos. We were talking about some inyanim in the parasha of Odes Hashem. So the parasha says in this week's parasha, not to take nakama, not to take revenge, not to bear a grudge. So she made an interesting point to me. She read my weekly Dvar Torah, and she replied to me privately, and she said, you know, it's easy not to take nakama. So, you didn't lend me your sickle yesterday, this example Rashi gives, but I'll lend you mine today. She said, but that's not the hard part. The hard part is what you feel inside. Mm-hmm. Pasuk in this week's parsha, Kadoshim. Lo tisna asechicha bilvavecha. Don't hate your... So I said to her, you're right. I said, no, that's a different mitzvah. So she says, so how do you fulfill that? So here we're ending with, it's necessary to eradicate any negative feelings before you can proceed with the toalas. So I said to her, it's something that I personally struggle with in my Avodas Hashem. I don't know. So I said, I don't know. The Gedolim speak with us. Rav Moshe Feinstein, for example, says he worked his whole life to get rid of his kas. Rav Soloveitchik says, I used to be a jealous person. I worked on myself. I'm not jealous anymore. How? What do they do? It's one thing to act a certain way, but to eradicate the negativity from within is a very big struggle in Avodas Hashem. So, you know, of course, everything's from Hashem. This is what he wants. I'm doing my tafkid, but we are deluding ourselves. The struggle will never go away. But I did tell her that a Kosh Baruch Hu wants to struggle. When you feel like speaking Lashon Hara, Rav Tzvi Meir Zilberberg speaks so much about this. When you feel like you want to say it, and there's such a battle within yourself. It's a nice madriga to not even want to say it. What about when you want to say it? I want to go. I want to tell my husband what that Leif Meretz Sotav. I know he'll be very interested. I know it'll lead to a whole nice, juicy conversation. I really want to say it. So if you don't want to say it, so am I. So you don't want to say it. But what about when you want to say it? See those boys in the store. Ooh, it's so bad. So, and you want to talk about it and you don't. Kosh Baruch Hu desires that battle as well. That struggle is a major part of our Avodas Hashem. And I pointed out to her, it's called Avodas Hashem. Eved, your servant. Amelus b'Torah. You have to toil in Torah. All Malchus Shemaim. It's like a burden, a yoke of heaven upon ourselves, and that's part of understanding our tafkid is Ovdei Hashem. As was Hashem, we should really be zocha not only to learn. Learning's geshmak, it makes us feel good, it makes us feel intellectual. We have to apply. We have to see the Ramazim in the Torah. We have to make sure that we are non novel b'shusha Torah, not in regard to wine, not in regard to meat, not in regard to relations. The Ramban says not even in regard to Sicha B'Teila. Why is Eliezer's story so long? And Yitzchak appears very briefly. The Avos didn't have a lot to say. Okay, so Be'ezras Hashem, we should continue in our Avodas Hashem. Does anyone have questions or comments? Okay, ladies. Thank you so much. The big Avoda.